In a mist whereof I dwell, a phrase that is taken from verse 3 of Numbers chapter 5, we have two thoughts: removal of uncleanness in your midst, that is a person himself, oneself, verse 1 to 4, and removal of defilement as a result of theft or injury to others. So not only ourselves and also for others. At the completion of the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness, God was pleased to dwell in the midst of his people by a cloud, so that the glory of God filled the tabernacle. This was the close of Exodus chapter 40, the last few verses after the tabernacle was constructed, and Israel inaugurated through Moses the tabernacle, which is a symbol of the presence of Christ with us. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of God lifted, filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the tabernacle because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from above over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in their journey. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. The reason for the command in verse 3, that both male and female that are defiled are to be put out without the camp, is so that they may not defile the camp. For the Lord says, in the midst whereof I dwell, in the midst thereof I dwell. Leviticus 26 verse 12 speaks of the presence of God with his people. Do you feel, or do you understand, do you know of the presence of God with you when you have received the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? The Spirit of God comes and indwell you, God with you. This is what Leviticus 26 verse 12 says. I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Your very special privilege in the sight of God. And in Deuteronomy 23 verse 14 says, for the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. Their defilement will render them vulnerable to the attack of their enemies and the judgment of God. And that is why the Lord instructed his people that they are to keep themselves pure, holy, in the sight of God, because God, the holy God, dwells in the midst of them. God's presence with his people entails a responsibility on their part to live holy lives. Leviticus 11 verses 44 to 45 says, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. They were rescued from idolatry in Egypt, just as we are rescued from our sins when Christ washed every whit of our sin clean by his precious blood. And therefore, the Lord has given us a new identity, a new creature he has created, one that is fresh, symbolic of the purity of heaven, the beauty of heaven. And this is the life that God has made for his people. And so in this chapter, the Lord speaks here of specific type of evil which must be taken away, put out from the camp, if God's blessing is to remain upon it. Why is that so? Well, because sin draws us away from God. When we are indulging in sin, we are not walking close to God. We are not doing His will. Sin distracts, draws us away from God and from His blessings, and we find ourselves crippled. You can describe or you can imagine what sin is in the imperfection of the human body. In the imperfection of the human body, right? When Jesus was upon earth, right, He healed the blind, He healed the maimed, He healed the leper. There was so much sickness, there's so much weakness as a result of God's curse upon earth since the fall of man. And so here the Lord, in making Himself, calling out for Himself a people, is drawing a people to Himself that will become a representative of a new life that God has planned for the people of this world. And one by one, God would draw them out to Himself. But God's plan in the beginning, after the fall of man and the global flood and the dispersal, was to make a nation, was to create a nation in which God will be their leader. That is why you see the cloud, that's why you see the fire that was in the midst of the camp after they have built the tabernacle. It symbolized the presence of God with His people. And it's a very visible presence, right? So you may not see God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, right? After Christ has finished the work of redemption, in the sense that the part of the work of the cross by which our sins can be dealt with, He was ascended to heaven. And therefore, we don't see Him physically. But by faith, we take hold of what He had done for us, and we receive this salvation. We receive this cleansing. We receive this supernatural life, this divine enabling that God has made for us. And so the picture of Israel, God with Israel, is a picture of God with us in the New Testament church. You would see, as Matthew Henry observed, the camp was to be cleansed. And how can we apply it for the church? Well, he says, the purity of the church must be kept as carefully as the peace and order of it. Every polluted Israelite must be separated. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable. The greater profession of religion any house or family makes, the more they are obliged to put away iniquity far away from them. So God has given us, by His grace, an understanding, a heightened awareness concerning the things that robs us of our peace and joy in life. The things that rob the peace and joy in our life. The Lord is very concerned because He wants you to live a happy life, blessed of Him, blessed by Him. And therefore, the first instruction is for self-examination. Right? He says, remove of uncleanness in your midst. The Lord said in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, command the children of Israel. So here is a command that is given. Right? God speaks, and we are to obey, and we are to listen, that they put out of the camp every leper and everyone that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female, shall ye put out. Without the camp shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and put them out without the camp. As the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. Commands are given for removal outside the camp of three classes of people: the lepers, persons with certain other diseases, and persons who are temporarily unclean as a result of touching a dead body. This removal, as F. Davidson says, this was vital to the Israelites in the wilderness, both from a hygiene and from a ceremonial standpoint. From a hygiene and from a ceremonial standpoint. Touching a dead body make one ritually unclean. God wished to indicate that His people should be completely separate from sin and defilement. In addition, there was a hygienic purpose to hinder the spread of disease. It was also important to make a sharp break in all that people should recognize that when a person has died, the spirit has gone to be with the Lord, and the body is no longer something beautiful, but rather something that is laid aside. This would prevent wrong attitudes toward the dead. Right? There are those who venerate the dead. Well, the Lord wants us to see and understand that there is that separation. And Matthew Henry also, he says, lepers, people with running sores, those who touch the dead, were put outside. And where? What do you mean outside the camp? Well, the camp composed of the tabernacle area plus that space around it occupied by the tents of Israel. So we have shown you the picture whereby the Israelites were encamped all around. The priests were encamped nearer to the tabernacle and the various tribes surrounding. A command for the purifying of the camp by turning out from within its lines all those that were ceremonially unclean by issues, leprosies, or the touch of dead bodies until they are cleansed according to the law, verse 2 and 3. These orders are executed immediately. The camp was now newly moulded and put in order, therefore, to complete the reformation of it. It is next to be cleansed. So they make the tent, and you saw the follow on from the end of the book of Leviticus to the end of the book of Exodus. Leviticus is just 2 months from there, and then begin the book of Numbers. Indeed, God's tabernacle was now fixed in the midst of their camp, and therefore they must be careful to keep it clean. So here is a good lesson for us. It is said, well, by Matthew Henry, the greater profession of religion any house or family make, the more they are obliged to put away iniquity far from their tabernacle. To put away iniquity. You recall, those of you who are reading through the Bible, you would be able to, you would probably read the account of Jacob returning to Canaan after Haran. He instructed his family to put away all the gods and idols. You remember Rachel took the gods from the father Laban and hid it with her without telling Jacob. And so all the idols were brought with them. They were not all clean. So they had this trust in these idols. They thought by bringing them with them, it would be of some benefit. Well, the Lord tells us that have no other gods. The other gods of this world are the devils, Satan himself. And we are to understand. When Jacob returned to Canaan from Haran, he instructed his family to put away all the gods and idols. And this is what we must do also in our own family. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. You see here that they are to keep themselves clean. How can they keep themselves clean? Well, putting away the idols, not just these physical idols, but also keep themselves physically clean. They may have polluted themselves with the worship of these idols, so the garments would change. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make thee there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which they were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So when they kept themselves clean, you see, God was there to protect them. And so God's instruction is that we are to keep ourselves pure. I recall there was a family that came to know God, and after they confessed their sins, was in the hospital. So every one of them surrendered their talisman. They kept their talisman and all their whatever in their wallet, carrying with them. And so they all surrendered them. And I recall taking them and going to the going to a petrol kiosk, bought a lighter, and find a place, get them all burned away. Dispose of them. Job 22:23. If I return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity from thy tabernacles. Matthew Henry further observed, for personal separation under holiness, unto holiness, the person, the place in the midst of which God dwells, must not be defiled. For if it be, he will be affronted, offended, and provoked to withdraw. That is why the Apostle Paul said to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, and 17, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. What a strong word. What a strong word. What did God say there? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Wow. What a warning. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. This expulsion of the unclean out of the camp was to signify what the governors of the church ought to do. They must separate between the precious and the vile, and purge scandalous persons as old leaven, lest they should be infected, or lest others should be infected and defiled. So you see here how important it is that the church is kept pure also. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 8. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So as you put away evil, then God's word, God's truth can be instructed, can be taught, and the people of God brought in the ways of God. So you see, the instruction that God gave to Moses was step by step, step by step. God prepared the way for them. You remember when they came out of Egypt, God says to go to, that every Israelite was to go to their Egyptian, go to their Egyptian neighbor and borrow. So they got all the materials that was needed. God prepared everything for them. God knew all that they would need, what they needed to do. And you see, with God guiding us, leading us, we are in a very safe and secure hands. And the Lord wants us to know that privilege and not forfeit it by our recklessness. By our recklessness. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Right? The leaven is the yeast that is used to raise the bread. But here it signifies the defilement of sin. 1 Corinthians 5:13. But them that are without God judges, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Hebrews 12 verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be devoured. Root of bitterness. Right? You realize that when we follow God, right, we follow Him wholeheartedly, we put away the past from us, and we look forward, pressing forward, and God gives to us a new life, and we pray that the Lord would cause us to have old misgivings, to disturb our peace, old misgivings, to disturb our present peace. It is for the glory of Christ and the edification of His church that those who are openly and incorrigibly profane and vicious shall be put out and kept from Christian communion till they repent. So here we are also speaking of a responsibility to ensure that that those who walk unruly within the congregation of God's people are to be warned, and in the severe cases, to be put out. What God himself will do in that great day, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather out his kingdom all things that offend. As here the unclean were shut out of the camp, so into the new Jerusalem no unclean thing shall enter. So you see, this is a picture of heaven. All right, the cherubims, you know, in the curtains that were sewn in the tabernacle, signifies the angels, the heavenly picture. So God wants us to understand by a feeble physical representation what will be in the time to come. Revelation 21 verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So removal of defilement, a call to personal self-examination, and removal of defilement as a result of theft or injury to others. Verse 5 to 10 of Numbers chapter 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or woman shall commit any sin that men commit to do a trespass against the Lord, and that person be guilty, then they shall confess their sin which they have done, and he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof, and add a fifth part thereof, and give it unto him against whom he hath trespassed. But if the man have no kinsman to recompense the trespass in unto, let the trespass be recompensed unto the Lord, even to the priest, beside the ram of the atonement, whereby an atonement shall be made for him. And every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring unto the priest, shall be his. And every man's hallowed things shall be his. Whatsoever any man giveth the priest, it shall be his. So this second portion deals with defilement, as we said, from injury or theft. And the word trespass, right, this word there, implies stealth or secrecy. Verse 6, speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or woman shall commit any sin that men commit to do a trespass against the Lord. So that trespass is against the Lord. God himself is offended. That is why when a man sin, you see that the man of God says, I do not want to offend my God. I do not want to offend my God. Just as Joseph, when he was being enticed by the wife of Potiphar, at that time, she said that my master has not kept everything from me. He left everything to my care, and you belong to him. How could I sin against God? And this was the response that came. And God wants us to have a right understanding and concerning life, and that God would want us to know, so that there would be a true order in our life, you know. Right? And you realize that many of the miseries that befall families and people around us is as a result of not taking heed to these very simple laws that God has given us. If we would just take note, take heed and obey, then we would have been protected. And having understood the laws of God, having received the grace to follow, then you would also be able to understand how far you have come, right? And you would be able to see also how miserable the people in the world is. And God gives to us a mission to follow Him, right? To be a vessel unto honor, to share and to share and to be able to make a difference in society as light with darkness. When we choose to confess and admit, that is already a grace that God gives to us. And you know, you can sin 1,000 times, but God forgives you every time as you confess it before Him, and as you choose to walk with Him and know that, you know, it is that it is a something that God by His grace gives us an awakened conscience to be able to know. And that is grace for us, just as you would see in your notes, the man called Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Jesus, he was chiefed among the publicans, a very rich man. He sought to see Jesus, climb up a sycamore tree, and Jesus says, "I'm coming to your house today." And Zacchaeus made haste, came down, very happy, received him joyfully. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And that's why you see here, it says give a 20% above what you have, 20%. And so it's a way by which, you know, your own conscience is soothed also, you see, that you have paid back, and you paid even more, you know. But God didn't demand you pay 100% more, but the Lord says 20%. 20%. So that's, in the sight of God, a reasonable justice. Okay, so you see here the mind of God. You understand here what God expects of us. So here the word that we saw, trespass, is going to be used later on also to describe offenses of God's people, the offenses of God's people. When a man or a woman commit any sin against another, he or she was required to confess the sin and to offer a trespass offering, to make restitution and to add one fifth part. If the person was wronged, had died or could not be located, if no near relatives were available, then the payment was to be made to the priest. A law concerning this restitution, wrong done to the neighbor, is taught here. When a person's conscience is awakened and he realizes what he has done wrong, then the Lord also, by His grace, enables the man to confess to God, to his neighbor, well, Matthew Henry says, to take shame to himself. But that shame is not shame, isn't it? That shame is rather the removal of that shame when we would be willing to confess our sins. So here is taught to us how we need to be willing, be brave, to come clean, to walk right, so that we will indeed enjoy the life of peace, the life of blessing and that God has for us. Satisfaction must be made for the offense done to God, as well as for the loss sustained by the neighbor. Matthew Henry says, restitution in that case is not enough without faith and repentance. So it's not just bringing, you know, of the offering, but the heart. What we are dealing with is the heart. Right? There is indeed a contrition of heart, and the Lord sees, right? Sees the contrite heart, and the Lord is pleased to forgive. So when a man confesses in true repentance, then he can put away sin, then he can put on, do the right thing. So Matthew Henry says, this is the doctrine of right reason and of the Word of God. It detects hypocrisy and directs the tender conscience to proper conduct, which, springing from faith in Christ, will make way for inward peace. Inward peace. That's so important, right? We all want a peaceful sleep in the night. Huh? Peaceful sleep in the night. May the Lord grant us His grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace. Strengthen us to protect Thy people, that we may keep close to Thee, and cleanse us of all our sins by the blood of Christ, and strengthen Thy people to be Thy witnesses. This I pray with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.